Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Jeremiah. The Old Testament book of Jeremiah and chapter number 26. The book of Jeremiah and chapter number 26. Of course, we're going through the book of Jeremiah and we're finding our way to chapter 26 after being in chapter number 10. And so the reason why is because we know the book of Jeremiah is not written in chronological order or the way that it happened in time, but rather it's written in themes and it's written in specific things that God has set in order for a reason. But we are going through it and how it happened in history so that way we could see these things built up. In Jeremiah chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 9, and chapter 10, that we see what is recorded, what is called the temple discourse, where God had Jeremiah go to the temple during one of the busiest times when lots of people came from around the country to come to worship and to do their ceremonies to God. And as people are coming and going, Jeremiah preaches a very passionate message in Jeremiah 7, 8, 9, and 10, as God has directed him. And in those messages, we see that God is very angry. God is upset. God is very mad at the people because they have not obeyed. After all that he has done for them, we could see God is brokenhearted, and we could see the weeping of the prophet and God crying because he has to punish them because they've broken his heart so badly. And he's gone through and preached the message. And then in chapter 10, it brings it up on the high note of who God is. And it goes through and explains God and all the names of God. And now we see the reaction of the people. So Jeremiah has just preached this message. How do the people respond to such a thing when they are told that God is angry with their sin? God, they are told that God is brokenhearted of their sin, that they just need to get right, that God is the God of the universe. How do the people respond? Well, we find the response to the people in Jeremiah chapter 26. Now, we've already taken time on Wednesday to go ahead and see the first part of 26 as Jeremiah is explaining them, hey, by the way, it's not my message. This is the Lord's message. And we took time to explain the principle that what usually happens when everything goes wrong, blame the preacher. That if they could somehow get the preacher to disqualify the preacher, if they could attack the messenger, they feel like they could exchange the message. And so we could see that they're not responding well, but they're ready to kill the preacher. Well, if you don't mind, let's watch as this reaction continues on. And let's pick it up in the book of Jeremiah chapter 26. Jeremiah 26, and notice with me in verse number 12. Jeremiah 26, starting at verse 12. Then spake Jeremiah unto all the princes and to all the people, saying, the Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city all the words that ye have heard. Therefore, now amend your ways and your doings, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will repent him of the evil that he hath pronounced against you. As for me, behold, I am in your hand to do with me as it seemeth good and meet unto you. But know ye for certain that if you put me to death, ye shall surely bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and upon the inhabitants thereof. For of a truth, the Lord hath sent me unto you to speak all these words in your ears. Then said the princes and all the people to the priest and to the prophets, this man is not worthy to die, for he hath spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God. Then arose certain of the elders of the land, and spake to all the assembly of the people, saying, Micah the Moreshethite prophesied in the days of Hezekiah king of Judah, and spake unto all the people of Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Zion shall be plowed like a field, and Jerusalem shall become as heaps, and the mountain of the house as high places as of a forest. Did Hezekiah, the king of Judah, and all of Judah put him at all to death? Did he not fear the Lord and besought the Lord? And the Lord repented him of the evil which he hath pronounced against him. Thus might we procure great evil against our souls. And there was also a man that prophesied in the name of the Lord, Urijah, the son of Shimei of Kirjath-Jearim, who prophesied against this city and against all the land according to all the words of Jeremiah. And when Jehoiakim, the king, with all of his mighty men and all the princes heard his words, the king sought to put him to death. But when Urijah heard it, he was afraid and fled and went into Egypt. Then, and Jehoiakim the king sent men into Egypt, namely Anethim, the son of Achbor, and certain men with him into Egypt. And they fetched forth Urijah out of Egypt, and brought him unto Jehoiakim the king, who slew him with the sword, and cast his dead body into the graves of the common people. Nevertheless, the hand of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, was with Jeremiah, that they should not give him unto the hand of the people to put him to death. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in the book of Jeremiah chapter 26? Jeremiah chapter 26, and notice with me in verse 21. Jeremiah chapter 26 and verse 21, notice what it says, when Urijah heard it, he was afraid. When Urijah heard it, he was afraid. And with the Lord's help, we're going to examine this reaction by looking at Urijah, the fearful prophet. Urijah, the fearful prophet. If you don't mind, let's come to the Lord and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come up to you, we're just asking that you would just help us now to be able to understand the principle of what you're getting across, that we could understand and apply it to our own lives, that we respond correctly even when other people's response is not correct. Help us to be able to take the high road. Help us to depend on you. Help us to be trusting in you even in the hard situations that we may face. Lord, again, I need your help in a special way. I need you physically. I need you spiritually. I recognize that I am nothing. I have nothing to offer. I'm weak and frail. So the best I know how, I surrender myself and ask that you strengthen me. You do your work. You fill me with your Holy Spirit. That you get your own work accomplished through your precious word. That you let it be clear. Let the Holy Spirit be able to apply this to people's hearts. Help us just to be trusting in you. And that we know that this is one of those messages that will be tested almost immediately to see if we've made the right decision in how we respond. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now remember the context that Jeremiah's preached this temple discourse, and he's preached a very hard message. And now the people are responding to the message, and as we saw earlier in the chapter, they are not responding well. Now there's something about human nature that we often respond based on how others respond. You know, husbands and wives, we go through that if you think that your spouse is upset, that you start getting upset. You start taking things wrong and it starts building up out of control. You could feed off of each other. We know that if someone gets in our face, maybe they have a misunderstanding of something we did, and they get in our face, our flesh is to fight back. There's just something about it. That there's something about this awful, nasty flesh that we like to be right and we want everyone else to be right. That misunderstandings flare up out of control very quickly, because we feel like we have to defend ourselves. We have to fight for ourselves. We have to force them to see our way. And what happens is that our wrong reaction to their wrong reaction makes a worse reaction. Here is a principle that our reaction to their reaction will determine the final reaction. It almost feels like I'm teaching a science class, right? That our reaction to their reaction will determine the final reaction. You understand that they may respond wrongly, but it is how we respond that is either going to draw them closer to the Lord or push them further away. And we all know that we as emotional beings, as prideful beings, this is something we all struggle with, responding properly. Let me tell you the basic hints is that if you're going to respond properly, it's already because you've developed that relationship with the Lord. We all know that there are days go differently, the days that you read your Bible and the days that you don't read your Bible, because you don't have that spiritual strength. That if there's a day that you didn't get into your Bible, you are more likely to respond incorrectly because that flesh is wearing out. You understand the whole principle of it is that you've developed a habit of walking in the Lord. That's going to be the background. That's going to be the tenor of it. This is going to be the strength of it. But what we're looking at today is that we're actually looking at what happens with the responses. But as an underlining thing, that to be spiritually strong when these situations come up, it's already going to determine what we've done with the Lord beforehand. Are we staying close with Him? Are we dependent? If we're going to have the spiritual strength to respond correctly, if we're going to be dead to self enough to respond correctly, it's going to come from our walk with the Lord beforehand. Remember, you don't, when you're reacting, usually you don't have a time to say, hey, all right, time out. I know you're mad. Let me pray really quick, and then I'll get right back to you in just a second, all right? That doesn't happen that way. Those reactions come instant. That they're getting in your face, you're usually back in there. Unless we've already taken time to die to self and to walk with the Lord before that event happens. So if you don't mind, what happens here is that we are given three different people. And we could see three different people who delivered the message that God gave them. We could see three different people that the people did not respond well. And we could see three different people and the reactions and then the final reactions because of their reactions. That how we react when people react badly is going to determine the final reaction. And so if you don't mind, the first prophet we want to hit to is Jeremiah's trusting response. Jeremiah's trusting response. Notice with me in verse number 12. Now, again, we've already hit the context before that what is happening is that the people want to kill him. It is not just might kill them. They are planning on killing him. They have surrounded him. They've grabbed him already. They are planning as a mob mentality. Now, again, this is one of the hardest things. Once a mob mentality is developed and the people are already frenzied up, this is going to be very hard to cool down. So what happens to Jeremiah when he's surrounded by a mob that wants to kill him? Well, notice if you don't mind in verse number 12. Then spake Jeremiah unto all the princes and to all the people, saying, the Lord sent me to prophesy against the house and against the city all the words that you've heard. Therefore, amend your ways and your doings and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will repent him of the evil that he hath pronounced against you. As for me, behold, I am in your hand to do with me as it seemeth good and meet to you. But know ye for certain that if you put me to death, ye shall surely bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon the city and upon the inhabitants thereof. For of a truth, the Lord hath sent me unto you to speak all these words in your ears. As we examine this right here, one of the things that we see is that Jeremiah responded by running to the Lord. He reminded the people that it was the Lord that sent him, that this isn't his message. He's just the messenger, that their dealing is with the Lord. You understand this is a very practical thing, that as we deal with people, that we need to remove ourselves away from the situation as much as possible and bring them to their own accountability to the Lord. That this is not a fight between you and me. This is a fight between you and the Lord. This is something that you and God need to take care of. I'm just the middleman. You go deal with him on this subject. You understand, part of the reason why we react badly is because we take things personally. We take things personally. For example, let's say that you're at work or with a friend and you invite them to church and all of a sudden they yell at you and start getting mad at you. You understand that sometimes we will take that personally. You understand they're not mad at us, they're mad at the Lord. We cannot take it personally. We have to step out of the way and tie them to the Lord. This is between you and him. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. You do with what you want. If you choose not to obey, that's up to you. This is not it. we have to also understand that if they choose not to obey the Lord, it's also not against us. They're not going to stand in judgment seat for us, and we can't make them obey. You understand, as a preacher, it's not my job to twist people's arms and to force them to believe like I do. That's not my job. My job is to give them the information, and they make their own decision based off the information given to them. If we're going to react properly, we have to remember it's not personally against us. We cannot take it personally. We have to tie them to the Lord. This is between them and the Lord. And if they choose not to obey the Lord, they have to answer to the Lord for that. That we're brokenhearted because we want them all to respond. Boy, as a pastor, I wish I could make decisions for people, but I can't. And I understand that you have people that you wish you could make decisions for. But we cannot take it personally. And if we do, that's when we're going to react badly, because that's when our flesh is involved. It's not against us. We have to tie them to the Lord as much as possible. You know, let's say that we have a student who is inside of a Christian school or inside of a public school or whatever else, that they're homeschool, whatever, and they're messing up, that we need to tie them to the Lord. What does the Lord see about this? What does the Lord think about this? We have to take them to the Lord, give them, bring them right to the Lord. If we have a family member who is upset and mad at us, take them to the Lord. Take yourself out of that situation and tie them to the Lord. That's what Jeremiah did. He says, hey, I know you're mad. You want to string me up. I know that you're upset, but I'm telling you, I just did what God told me to do. I just delivered the message. And now you need to respond to him. If you don't like the message, go talk to him about it. You understand, that's a pretty amazing thing. I remember years ago, I had a person who was upset. I was being pastor, and I asked them to do something, and they got upset. The lack of submission. If you don't mind, I'll just throw a stupid illustration out. But let's just say that I asked someone to wear a tie. Oh, no! You know? That happens. Sometimes pastor would come up and say, you know what? I think it would be good for it. It would be the next step to wear a tie. Now, I'm not saying wear. I'm talking about an individual. I can't believe you'd ask me to do that. I don't feel like I have to wear a tie. Okay, well, you understand. They're responding badly. You know what my thing is? To step out of it. I can't take it personally. You know, a simple solution? I can understand that you're not happy with that. Why don't you go tell the Lord that you don't want to wear the tie and you tell me what what he says? You understand? I'm tying it to God. It's no longer about me. You go talk to the Lord about that. And you go see what he says. Find what the Bible says about that. You know, and it's amazing, you know. All right, God, I don't want to tithe. You know, that's another thing. All right, you don't believe you should tithe? Go tell him that right now. Go talk to him. You know, take me out of the situation. They has to direct them straight to the Lord. You go tell the Lord. If you don't want to do something, that's between you and the God. But I'll be glad to pray with you. Let's pray right now. And you go tell God why you don't want to do that. You understand? It's no longer about me. I can't take it personally. So if I'm going to respond properly, I need to make sure that I pull myself away. And that's what Jeremiah started off with. We can see a Jeremiah, his trusting response. He's trusting in God. He's depending on God's authority. He's submitting himself to the Lord. Notice this. We see this submission in verse 14. As for me, behold, I am in your hand to do with me as seemeth good and meet to you. You understand when he's talking to this? He's talking to a crowd who wants to kill him. And he says, you do with me as you see fit. You understand he didn't fight. He didn't say, well, bless God, he's going to rain down fire. You understand he submitted even to them now, unto that authority. That I'm trusting God's going to work things out. As you study martyrs, and I hope that you do. I hope that you get a copy of Fox's Book of Martyrs. I hope that you get something like Martyr's Mirror. I hope that you get something like The Trail of Blood. I hope that you get something that you could see the history of the trail of blood that has been shed to give us our faith now. And to see the testimonies of the people as they are standing up for their belief. And some of them, yes, had to die. But how did they die? When they were put on the stake because they're trusting in God, they're singing hymns, oh victory in Jesus, my Savior forever, as they're burning on the stake. You know what that did to the people who are putting them on the stake? Some of them during those times, the guards who put the people on there would go to their superiors and say, "Can you put me on the stake? Because I want whatever they have." You understand how we respond to people who are not responding well is going to either draw them closer to the Lord or further away. Jeremiah's here says, if you see it's right to kill me, that's fine. I'd rather not, but I'm going to submit. I'm going to trust that God knows what he's doing. You understand, this does not happen naturally. This happens as we're dead to self and filled with the Spirit. This happens as we've had a relationship with God. We have to have that underlying thing of trusting in God, depending on him. And you know what? God did spare Jeremiah at this time. But notice that Jeremiah was not kicking and fighting, but he was submitted. He was trusting God the entire time. He was resting in the Lord. And God gave him grace. This shows that his trust was upon the Lord. You understand how you react to a bad reaction is going to show who you're trusting in. Can you trust in the Lord? And so Jeremiah is trusting in the Lord. He's responding to it. He's gone to the Lord. Notice as we go to a second person. We've seen Jeremiah, and of course the people respond and say, you know what, we don't see anything worthy in death. And that's pretty amazing, because this is a blood-frenzied mob. And someone gets cool ahead and said, you know what, he has not done anything worthy of death. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse number 16. And the princes and all the people unto the priests, to the prophets, this man is not worthy to die, for he has spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God. What happened is that, because Jeremiah brought them to their accountability to the Lord, he took himself out of the equation and he said, you look to God. Some people did look to God and say, wait a second, Jeremiah's not the bad guy here. We need to deal with God. He's not worthy of death. You understand that because Jeremiah responded correctly to their bad reaction, it drew them closer to the Lord and they recognized their accountability was to the Lord at this time. Notice as we come to a second prophet here that is mentioned, and that would be Micah. Not only did we see Jeremiah's trusting response, we see Micah's faithful memory. Micah's faithful memory. Years before, with a different king, we come to a different prophet. Notice with me in verse 17. Then arose certain of the elders of the land and spake to the assembly of the people, saying, Micah the Moreshite had prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and spake unto all the people of Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Zion shall be plowed like a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house is high places of a forest. Did Hezekiah, king of Judah, and all of Judah put him to death? Did he not fear the Lord and besought the Lord, and the Lord repented him of the evil which he had pronounced against them? This might we procure great evil against our souls. So what happens is that they actually go back to an old prophet. Years later with King Hezekiah, probably 100 years before, a little bit more than 100 years before, Hezekiah is king. Micah, the prophet, comes up and tells him, guess what? God is going to plow this city over. He's going to turn it over in heaps. He's going to destroy this place. And they go back in their mind and think about how this prophet had been, how he dealt with Hezekiah. And they think about Hezekiah. Hezekiah said, kill the prophet. No, Hezekiah said, you know what? There must be something in my life that needs to be fixed. And Hezekiah went and got it fixed. Notice with me in verse number 19. Did Hezekiah, king of Judah, and all of Judah put him, that's Micah, to death, at all to death? Did he, Hezekiah, not fear the Lord and besought the Lord? And the Lord repented him of the evil which he had pronounced against them. So what we could see is that the king honored the prophet and the message, and he made sure that he was right with God. And guess what? God turned the judgment away. God turned it away from Hezekiah at the time. By the way, if you look through the history, you could see that Hezekiah had been pointed out several times, and Jerusalem was to be destroyed in 722 BC. They had the Assyrian army outside of them, and it was Hezekiah who went to pray and grabbed the prophet Isaiah and said, let's pray. Let's make sure we're right. And God killed the Assyrian army that surrounded them. Later on, Hezekiah had Isaiah come up to him and said, listen here, Put your affairs in order, you're done. God's going to kill you. Hezekiah didn't even wait. As Isaiah's leaving, Hezekiah went down and said, God, please, you know how I've tried to live right. You know I've tried to do what you wanted to do. Tell me what to do and I'll do it. Isaiah gave the message walking out the courtyard. And God says, all right, Hezekiah prayed and got right. Go back in and go tell him that he's going to live for 15 years. That's how quickly it answered. Isaiah's walking out brokenheartedly. And God says, turn around, go tell him he's good. What a wonderful thing. And that was the heart of Hezekiah, which was a wonderful king. But you understand it's because he responded properly to the prophet's proper response. That other people were very, very upset that, hey, God's going to destroy this place. And the danger looks very real. But the people got right with God. Again, people are remembering 100-something years later how once again, here's a prophet who delivered the same exact message that Jeremiah did. But the people got right and they saw the response. And so again, we're seeing the principle of these different people. Jeremiah trusted the Lord. We could see Micah's faithful memory that people went back and remembered. This is a prophet who responded correctly in the midst of it. But now we come to an alternative, a comparison. We come to Urijah's fearful reaction. Urijah's fearful reaction. And this is where we're going to tie in a lot of practicality, because if we would be honest, most of us usually are not in the Jeremiah phase when we are responded to. We're usually not saying, you know what, I'm trusting in God when someone's yelling at us and in our face and telling us where we're wrong. That's usually not where we're at. We're usually at the Urijah phase when we're not right with God and we don't respond properly. So because we're at this phase, this is where we're going to make most practicality at. We're going to look and see what all went wrong here and what all goes wrong in our life when we're in this place. Notice, if you don't mind, in verse number 20. And there was also a man that prophesied in the name of the Lord, Urijah, the son of Shemaiah of Kirjath-Jearim, who prophesied against this city and against this land. Notice this, according to all the words of Jeremiah. So here's another prophet who does not have a different message than Jeremiah. He has the same exact message as Jeremiah. So he's not saying anything different. He's preaching the word of God. So again, we can see the message here. It's not Urijah's message. He is doing what he is told. He is delivering the same message. He's preaching the word of God. He's not preaching his thoughts. He's not teaching his opinions. He's telling people what the Bible says. So we know that the message is not the wrong thing. He is doing what's right. Notice what happens to him in verse 21. And when Jehoiakim, by the way, this is the current king that is now ruling, Jeremiah's king, Urijah's king, the guy who's in charge of Judah. And when Jehoiakim, the king, with all of his mighty men and all the princes heard his words, the king sought to put him to death. All right, so here we have the wrong reaction. So Urijah's preaching a Bible message and the king does not like it. So the king grabs him and his guards and they go to kill Urijah. Urijah hears the wrong response and unfortunately he responds incorrectly. Notice with me in the end of verse 21. But when Urijah heard it, he was afraid and fled and went into Egypt. Now we understand that this is a literal place. He's going to Egypt. We also know that Egypt in the Bible is a type of the world. You guys know that. So if we are going to apply this to our own life, that oftentimes when someone responds badly to us, we respond by running to the world. That we don't want to deal with the people who has the wrong reaction. We want to run away from that. We want to make ourselves feel better. And so we run into the world. So I want you to think about this. So when you have a hard day, especially a days that you're serving God, where do you run to for comfort? Do you run to your television? Do you run to your video game? Maybe a nice bath? Do you run to your favorite fast food comfort food? Do you stop by and grab some chips and dip? Ice cream, chocolate? Someone was showing me a chocolate Whopper that they now have at Burger King now. It's chocolate and then it has little onions that are like white chocolate on top of it. And it's, I don't know, just saw a picture of it. Is that what you run to? What do you run to for your comfort when you've had a bad day and the people are responding bad? You're just trying to do what's right. And the more that you're trying to do what's right, and by the way, we'll have those days that the more that we try to do what's right, the more opposition that we have. By the way, let me give you a principle that if you're a Christian, you're in a spiritual warfare. Sorry, it's going to happen. And someone says, well, I don't want any opposition. Well, if you don't want any opposition, do nothing, say nothing, and be nothing. But as long as you try to follow the Lord, they will be upset. In fact, as long as they're kicking you in the rear, you know you got the lead. But you understand that as long as you try to do something for God, you will suffer persecution. You know, that's a Bible promise. We love Bible promises. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a great promise. But you understand that just as real and the same promise is that, yea, all that live godly shall suffer persecution. It doesn't say might. It says shall. It's a guarantee. That as long as you're doing right, you will have people who respond wrong to you. It's going to happen. So what do you do? Where do you run when you have comfort? When you've had those days where they respond badly to you? Where do you run to? Well, Elijah ran to Egypt, which we know is a picture of the world as we make application. Too often we go to comfort our flesh. We want our flesh to feel better, good flesh. We get the ice cream, right? Some of you ladies understand grabbing a tub of ice cream and a big spoon and say, I'm going to be good here today. Chocolate, need chocolate. Comfort food, junk food, jump to TV. I need something to distract. You understand? That's not the best place for us to run when we've had a bad spiritual battle. Do you run to your Bible? Do you run to prayer? Do you run to him and say, God, I need you. The people are responding badly to you. I need you. You understand that's not our usual place to run, but that needs to be the habit that we develop to run to. I've developed the habit of when people are upset with me, I'm going to go to prayer. When people are upset to me, I'm going to get my comfort from the scriptures. That's how we're going to respond properly. If we respond that we get comfort, we are feeding our flesh, and we're usually going to have a fleshly reaction when push comes to shove. How do we respond when people respond badly to us? Do we try to comfort ourselves or do we run to the Lord? You understand those are the two options. And so if I've developed the habit of running to the Lord, I'm probably going to respond properly when they get in my face. Rather than if I go run to comfort, I'm probably going to respond in the flesh. You see, this all has the idea of the prep work we get before we get there. You need to be spiritually strong before you hit the situation. Otherwise, you're going to make the wrong thing. You understand, this is all with prep work. You will not have a moment to decide when someone's in your face yelling at you, hey, I should respond properly. You understand, that's why we call it a reaction. But you can control your reactions beforehand by plugging into the Lord, by developing the habit of running to the Lord when you do have those days. So we learn to respond in the spirit rather than responding in the flesh, learning to die to self and running to him. Uriah's faithful mistake, he ran to Egypt. Now notice what happens to him as we're seeing what happened in history. So he fled to Egypt, verse 22, and Jehoiakim the king sent men into Egypt, namely Ethlanon, the son of Achbor, and certain men with him. And they fetched forth Urijah out of Egypt, brought him into Jehoiakim the king, who slew him with the sword and cast his dead body into the graves of the common people. So here's Urijah. He preaches a message and says, guess what? Get right with God. God is not happy. The people said, we don't like that message. And Urijah says, I think they're going to kill me. I think they're not going to like me. And he runs to Egypt. Jehoiakim says, oh, so he's afraid of me. You know what's happening? Is that we should have more of a fear of God than a fear of people. I want to please him more than I want to please people. I'm more afraid of disappointing him than hurting his feelings. You understand, it's an idea of what you're trusting in more. And you know, the world sees that. The world definitely can see that weakness. Oh, I thought he's supposed to trust in God, but we see where he runs to. So Jehoiakim runs, sends some troops, special forces, into Egypt, drags the preacher back and says, okay, this is what I think of your message. And Jehoiakim, the king, takes a sword and kills the prophet, then throws him into an unmarked grave, kind of like a pauper's grave, where nobody will claim the body and bury him, throws him out in an unmarked, shallow grave, disrespecting the preacher, and said, that's what happens. You understand that we have the truth that's not in dispute. But you understand if someone gets in our face, I can't believe you pass out a tract. I don't want to go to your church. And you get back in their face and you respond in the flesh, they are not going to accept your message. They're not going to listen to you. You're not going to overpower them. You're not going to convince them by being louder than them. You're not going to convince them by, I'm right, you're wrong. Everybody who's been in an argument before knows that in the midst of argument, you are not going to convince anyone of anything. That's just one of those things. If it's with your wife, I love my wife and she knows me. In the midst of an argument, I'm not going to convince her and she's not going to convince me. It's not going to happen. And you guys know it's true. What happens is that we have to trust in the Lord. It's how we respond. They're watching our response. When we respond correctly, even when they're responding incorrectly, it will draw them to the Lord. Urijah responded. He had the right message. He was right there. But when they responded badly, he responded badly back. And what happened is that gave them an excuse to not believe the message because they had something against the messenger. You understand that you are messengers. You are delivering God's word. You're inviting them to church. You're trying to tell them about the Lord. You're trying to tell them what the Bible says. And they're going to be watching your reaction. Because if you respond like a Christian, they'll say there's something to that message. But when you respond wrongly, they're like, that's no big deal at all. Because you're not acting like you're trusting in the message. You see, this is a big deal. You understand, this is why it takes a long time sometimes to influence our friends around us, because they're trying to see how you respond in the long run. Are you going to be consistent? If you could forgive the personal illustrations, I was in the military for a good number of years, and I was stationed at Luke Air Force Base for 6 years. They just kind of parked me out there and left me out there, and I loved it. I loved the desert. And I worked with some of these guys for 6 years. That they knew I was called to preach. They watched my life. You understand, I prayed for these people and begged for them. And it took 4, 5, 6 years. And I saw a whole bunch of them come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. In fact, one of them had a birthday today and we were talking. And every time he sends me a postcard, he's one of those old-fashioned people who send me postcards. He still thanks me for the day that he accepted the Lord. You know what happened? They watch your life. I remember this one guy I was just talking about. For years, I would ask him about his soul. How can I pray for you? Have you ever thought about what would happen to you if you're to die? And he would go through waves. There are times he'd listen to me, and then sometimes he didn't listen to me. There are sometimes that here's one of my good friends who would run from me because he didn't want to hear it that day. And I remember he was working a night shift and I came in early before everyone else. And so he couldn't do anything. He's the night shift supervisor. And I began to go in and talk with him. And I remember a morning that I finally asked him again, you know, I believe the Lord would want me to ask you, are you 100% sure if you die today, you go to heaven? And he said, you know what? I've been thinking about it. No, I'm not. Amen. He says, can you show me? And so we went to a break room and I opened the Bible and asked him, are you 100% sure? And I showed him how he can know that Jesus died for him and that because he was a sinner and because of his sin, he offended a holy, righteous God. And that if he would just ask God for forgiveness, would he do so? And I remember I said, if you want to accept the Lord, we could ask him right now, that we could do it one of two ways. You could talk to the Lord yourself, or if you want, we could pray together and I could say a little bit and you could repeat after me and you could talk to the Lord. He said, which one would you like to do? He says, would you help me to pray? And so we prayed. And at the end of it, I led him through a prayer. And I said, at the end of it, I said, who did you just talk to? And he thought for a second. He said, you know what? Can we do it again? I want to make sure I'm talking to the Lord. Okay, good. And so that's good. You know what? It helped him to nail it down. He knew he was talking to the Lord. I had another guy who he was smart. He had a master's degree and a couple different things. He owned his own bar. He was a young guy that had his entrepreneur. He's working in the military, running in a bar and everything else. And this is a guy who was super smart, always looked at religion as, you know, for people who were weak and minded and whatever else. And I worked with him and I worked with him. I gave him a message about 10 reasons why I believe the Bible is the Word of God by R.A. Torrey. It's in our discipleship manual. Those 10 reasons and walked through that. And he thought about it. And I remember one time he called me and said, you know what? I want to know more about this religion thing you're talking about. And I brought my pastor with him. And let me tell you, he bowed his head. Here's a smart guy who was agnostic, atheist, you know, didn't believe anything, bowing his head, accepted Christ as his Savior. The story goes on is that he went to his nightclub that night or that weekend and went to his nightclub and ordered a drink. And so one of his employees gave him a drink. He drank it, spit it out, and said, what is wrong with this? Give me another drink. Drank it, spit out. And he tried different alcoholic drinks, and for some reason he couldn't drink it. None of them tasted good. He came to me the next Monday and said, what did you do to me? He said, I can't drink any of my, I'm running a bar and I can't drink any of the drinks. What's wrong with me? Well, let me tell you, there's something different now. You know, but why, I'm telling the stories and you get the aftermaths, but that was 5-6 years of being a good testimony, of working with them, responding correctly when they made fun of me and rejected, not taking it personally, praying for them, and to watch them get saved. It was almost like dominoes, boom, 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 and right at the end to watch them all get saved. Why? Because they watched reactions year after year and watched if I was going to be consistent. Watch as they responded, you know, watch as they go. Of course, you know, there's not always times that fail, if you could forgive personal illustrations. In Luke Air Force Base, we have more fighter jets than any other place in all the world. Over 200 fighter jets in one location. We also have the oldest fighter jets in all the fleet. Some of the fighter jets left over from the 70s. So they're using it to train pilots. Well, there was a span where we're there where planes crashed once a month. It got so bad that they actually had a pool going on about when the next plane was going to crash. I mean, it's pretty awful. And, you know, we would have to test the pilots. But when a plane crashes, guess what? You got to go pick up the parts. And so I remember a beautiful, hot, sunny day, a plane crashed out in the middle of the desert in Yuma. And if you don't know, familiar with that, it's 120 plus. With no roads, desert. We had to make our own roads to get to where the plane was. And guess what? Wonder of wonders, it's a Saturday, and they voluntold us to go pick up plane parts. You. And I remember someone from our church going with us, and he was so excited when he heard I was going, because he says, here is the assistant pastor. Here's the assistant to the pastor. Here's someone that in the midst of this hard day, I could look at him, and he's going to respond properly, and that's going to help me to respond properly. Unfortunately, that was not the day that I responded properly. And he called me out on it the next day. And he said, you know what? You were so miserable, and I expect it better of you, that you were the person I was looking for to be the person to help me through it. But I watched you as you complained like everyone else, and you murmured. Oh, man. I've never forgot that, because here was someone who was looking at me, and I responded wrong. And it affected him, you know, in a hard situation. And boy, I learned a big lesson there. Now, I'm not trying to give personal illustrations for the fun of it, but I'm trying to say that our reactions matter. You know, there's another important reaction that we find in the Bible. And that's in Acts chapter 6 and 7. You don't have to turn there right now. But we see Stephen. Stephen, one of the first deacons, a man full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost, full of the Word of God. And he preaches a message to the people and they don't like it. And they hired people to lie against him and they put him in court. And they're planning on killing him. And you know what? In the midst of the people lying to them, it says they looked on his face and behold, it was a face like an angel. Meaning that he had such peace. Now, how would your face be if people were hired to lie against you in front of a court of law to put you to death? How would your face be? Would it be peace that you're still trusting in God? Or would you be pretty upset, reacting wrongly? Well, they looked on his face and it was as if it was a face of an angel. Now they drag him out and they're going to murder him. They're going to kill him. And you know what happens before they rock him to sleep? he was stoned to death. He prays that God would forgive them and save them. You understand, he still died. And I'm not saying that when we trust God, that God doesn't keep us from dying. There are martyrs, and martyrs are very important. And Stephen was the first martyr. And Stephen died. But there happened to be a young man who the people threw their coats at his feet, who was willing, and by a young man by the name of Saul. And you know what? Saul gives his testimony as he became the Apostle Paul later. And he gives his testimony years later, and he says, you want to know something that really affected me? Is I never got over how that man died. That as we're throwing rocks at him, he's praying that God would forgive us. He said, I never got over that. You understand what he's saying? He's saying because Stephen responded properly, Saul got saved. If Stephen would have fought and cursed and kicked, Saul would have not gotten saved. We would have not had the Apostle Paul. Everything would be completely different. You understand? The stoning of Stephen is such an important part in Saul's life because he responded properly. He responded properly. You understand? Our responses to the wrong response is so vital. How do you respond properly? It comes when you plug yourself into the Lord before the situation, to pray, to be right with God, to be in your Bible. That's why all those things are important, so you have the spiritual strength to respond. How do you respond properly? Well, you learn by where you run to when you run into those things. Do you run to the world for comfort, or do you run to God for that spiritual strength? You understand how we respond properly comes with all the prep work that comes beforehand. It doesn't come by accident, and it doesn't come by chance. It comes as we've developed a walk with God. So when we come to those situations, we respond dead to self instead of responding from the flesh. And we understand that how we respond to wrong responses will determine the final response. That if we respond correctly and run to the Lord, it's going to draw them close to Him rather than repel them. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.